कुंज बिहाई। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। यशोदा गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरा भक्तवृंद। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरा भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaur Haribol, 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 Haribol. Shri Nam Sankirtan ki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, entitled Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu. Text number 37. Please repeat after me. Iti Bhagavatah Devyah Pratishaptum Alantamaha Murdhana Saha Jagrehe Shapam Etavad Sadhu Lakshanam Iti Bhagavato Devya Pratishabdum Alantamaha Mudhanasa Jagare Shapam Etavat Sadhu Lakshanam Iti Bhagavato Devaya Pratishaptum Alantamaha Murdhanasa Jagare Shapam Etavat Sadhu Lakshanam Iti Bhagavato Devaya ප්‍රතිශප්තුම් අලන්තමහා මූර්ධනා සජගරේ ශාපම් ඒතාවත් සාදු ලක්ෂණම් What word meaning? Iti does. Bhagavataha, the most exalted devotee. Devyaha of Parvati. Pratishaptum, to make a counter curse. Alantamaha, able in all respects. Murdhana, with his head. Saha, he, Chitraketu. Jagrehe, accepted. Shapam, the curse. Etavat, this much. Sadhu lakshanam, the symptom of a devotee. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The great devotee Chitraketu was so powerful that he was quite competent to curse Mother Parvati in retaliation. But instead of doing so, he very humbly accepted the curse and bowed his head before Lord Shiva and his wife. This is very much to be appreciated as the standard behavior of a Vaishnava. Kindly repeat responsibly with me. The great devotee Chitraketu was so powerful that he was quite competent to curse Mother Parvati in retaliation. But instead of doing so, he very humbly accepted the curse and bowed his head before Lord Shiva and his wife. This is very much to be appreciated as the standard behavior of a Vaishnava. Purport. Upon being informed by Lord Shiva, Mother Parvati could understand that she was wrong in cursing Chitraketu. King Chitraketu was so exalted in his character that in spite of being wrongly cursed by Parvati, he immediately descended from his airplane and bowed his head before the mother, accepting her curse. This has already been explained. Narayana para sarve nakutaschana bhibhyati. Chitraketu very sportingly felt that since the mother wanted to curse him, he could accept this curse just to please her. This is called sadhu lakshanam, the characteristics of a sadhu or a devotee. As explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishuna. A devotee should always be very humble and meek and should offer all respect to others, especially to superiors. Being protected by Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee is always powerful. But a devotee does not wish to show his power unnecessarily. However, when a less intelligent person has some power, he wants to use it for sense gratification. This is not the behavior of a devotee. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Deva Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurad Vishe Nama He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The great devotee Chitraketu was so powerful that he was quite competent to curse Mother Parvati in retaliation. But instead of doing so, he very humbly accepted the curse and bowed his head before Lord Shiva and his wife. This is very much to be appreciated as the standard behavior of a Vaishnava. So, I would beg forgiveness from all the devotees that if I commit any mistake while giving this class, please feel free to correct me after the class. There are many senior devotees sitting here who are much more eligible than me. But somehow they have given me the opportunity to give this class. And especially I would like to thank His Grace Asim Krishna Prabhu to give me this opportunity. So, from last many days we have been hearing on this chapter, Mother Parvati curses Chitraketu from so many wonderful devotees here. And in response to Parikshit's question that how this demon Vritrasura was such an exalted devotee, Sukhdev Goswami answers that, you know, in his previous life he was Chitraketu. So, that's how this chapter comes here in this Bhagavatam. So Chitraketu was a king and he had millions of wives, but he had no children from any of them. And ultimately, by blessings of Narad Muni, when he got self-realized, so he was given a mantra by Narad Muni, because of which within 7 days, he had darshan of Shankarshana. So, this chapter starts where Shankarshan leaves and then Chitraketu offers his obeisances in that direction. That, okay, Shankarshan has left now, and Chitraketu, as a result or as an outcome of having darshan of Lord Anantadev, he becomes the king of Vidyadharas. So he starts his life as the king of Vidyadhar, and he lives that life for millions of years, as here is stated in the Bhagavatam in some previous verses. And he had best of both the world. And he had best of all the material enjoyment as well as he was a devotee. So it's very difficult to understand this kind of situation that, you know, he got best of the enjoyment in the material world, at the same time he would never forget to chant the glories of Krishna. So he was roaming in that airplane with so many Vidyadhar women, and while roaming around like that, when he came across Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was sitting addressing some sages, and on Lord Shiva's thigh was Parvati, on the lap of Lord Shiva was Parvati. So when Chitraketu saw this, he became little he became astonished to see this. He thought, what kind of this new parampara has started, you know, that Lord Shiva is addressing all these sages, and at the same time Mother Parvati is on his lap. So when Chitraketu saw this, he could understand the position of Lord Shiva. He knew that Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. So, but at the same time he was thinking that Lord Shiva is addressing these great sages here, and you know, how come Mother Parvati is on his lap? So Lord Shiva could understand actually the position of Chitraketu. So once I was hearing lecture of His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. So Maharaj was telling in that lecture, in this context, that only the Lord can understand his devotee, and only the devotee can understand the language of the Lord. So Lord Shiva, although he saw that, okay, you know, Chitraketu is laughing and you know he is little bewildered to see this situation, but he could understand that, you know, okay, he's not offending me. And also Chitraketu could understand the position of Lord Shiva. He also criticized him in a friendly manner. Like Saturday, Gokuleshwar Bhu was giving a class, and he was very wonderfully explaining how they were on the equal level. Lord Shiva and Chitraketu, they were both great devotees of Lord Shankarshan. So both of them could understand their situation. And even Lord Shiva, for that matter, also joked with Chitraketu. He told Chitraketu that, what, you are laughing at me? Even you make a show of being a devotee, but you are moving around with so many Vidyadhar women. So he was also joking in a similar way with Chitraketu. But Parvati could not understand this, and she became offended, and she thought, you know, how this Chitraketu is offending Lord Shiva. So she cursed Chitraketu. So that's why we have to understand. So Maharaj was explaining in that lecture that, you know, that's why we have to be very careful when women are there around. We have to be very careful in our behavior. So there were many other great sages also in that assembly, and none of them took this as an offense from Chitraketu. So that's why none of them spoke anything. But Mother Parvati, she apparently seems to not understand the situation. So Gokuleshwar Prabhu very nicely was explaining that initially when this chapter begins, it appears that, okay, Lord Shiva is at fault. Why? Because he is, you know, keeping Mother Parvati on his lap and addressing sages. But later on, it appears that Chitraketu is at fault. Because Chitraketu, how could he laugh, you know, at this kind of situation? But then it is understood over the next few verses that, okay, Chitraketu was also not at fault, because they had a friendly relation kind of. So Chitraketu was joking with Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was joking with Chitraketu. And then it appears like, okay, Mother Parvati, who actually cursed Chitraketu, she is at fault. But Chitraketu, when he got this curse, Chitraketu came down from his airplane, and as it's explained here, he just descended from his airplane and bowed his head before the mother, accepting her curse. So there are five kind of people who are never at fault. So these five kind of people are the same, except one that are to be protected also. Like a Brahman has to be always protected, women have to be protected, child have to be protected, cows have to be protected, and old men have to be protected. But similarly, there are five kind of people, they are never at a fault. So woman is at never at fault. Even they do something wrong, they are not to be accused. So similarly, children and cows and old men, and at the same time king. The king cannot be punished for doing anything apparently wrong. So Chitraketu very wonderfully exemplified this here, that how he protected Mother Parvati. So he understood that, okay, Mother Parvati, although cursed me, but I deserved it. So Chitraketu, when he came down from his airplane, it is explained in previous verses that he says to Mother Parvati that, don't think that I am coming down from this airplane and bowing down to you so that I will seek some forgiveness. No, I am not come for asking any forgiveness. Okay, that you please forgive me and take your curse back. No, I am not coming for that. I know you cursed me because I deserve it. Maybe I did something wrong in my past because of which you cursed me. So Chitraketu very wonderfully handled the situation, and he by saying this kind of words, he actually protected Mother Parvati. So when Parikshit was hearing this whole thing, because just before this verse, Shukdev Goswami starts speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. So now this story is being told to Parikshit. So when Parikshit is hearing, it's like a flashback to him. Why? Because Parikshit was also in a similar situation. Parikshit also did a similar kind of mistake when he put a snake around the neck of Shamik Rishi. So Parikshit would have also thought, okay, this is what I also went through. That I just put a snake around the neck of Shamik Rishi, and then that Shringi cursed me. But here, if we see, even Parikshit Maharaj then didn't retaliate. He said, okay, Shringi is a, actually his father Shamik Rishi, he explains. Parikshit Maharaj, okay, he accepts. He thinks that, okay, because of my past deeds, I have to suffer this, or maybe this is the arrangement of the Lord. But then Shamik Rishi explains that Shringi, he cursed Parikshit, definitely deserved to be punished, but because he's a minor, he's a child. Nowadays, there is a debate going on in the outside world, if you see, that what exactly, who is to be considered a minor? Who can be considered a minor? So they are saying 18 years, below 18, someone is minor. And nowadays, people are demanding, because so many rape cases happening in our country. So nowadays there is a demand from people that this age of minority should be reduced to 16. So because there is always such kind of debates going on in material world, because nothing, because they don't consult from scriptures like Bhagavatam or other Vedic scriptures, that's why they are always confused. They don't know what is the exact reality. So now there is a debate that, okay, 15, 16 years or 18 years. But in scriptures, it is clearly said, what is a minor? Who is a minor? Anyone knows what is the age given in scriptures? What can who is considered as a minor? So in our scripture it says that 14 years is considered as the age of being a minor. So below 14 anyone is considered a minor, and after that he is an adult. But women, they are exempted from this. So women, they have a special insurance policy. They, even though they become more than 18 or more than 21, whatever, they are never considered as adult. Women always have a premium for minor. She doesn't have to pay more. So Prabhupada actually says that unless and until you surrender to a guru, you cannot be protected. You know, so if Prabhupada would come to Prabhupada and, you know, he would not surrender, Prabhupada would say that if you don't surrender, then I cannot protect you. So, women, although they are in a situation where, you know, if they don't surrender, sometimes even men has to go ahead and surrender to them and protect them. So Chitraketu here is doing the similar kind of thing. He went to Mother Parvati and he told that it's right that you gave me curse. I deserved it. You know, so you did nothing wrong by cursing me. And then in few verse before we see how by this act of Chitraketu, Lord Shiva is so pleased. Lord Shiva then tells Mother Parvati that although you may be very beautiful, but what is, you can see the beauty of devotees of Lord Vishnu. You know, although you cursed Chitraketu, but he never retaliated. So this is the greatness of devotees of Lord. So here in the purport, this verse again has been quoted, which was said by Lord Shiva to Parvati. Narayana para sarve na kutaschana bibbati. So Narayana para means what? Means the devotee of the Lord is fearless. And how does he become fearless? He becomes fearless because he is totally dependent on Narayana. Because of that, he becomes fearless. So, if we see in this verse that Chitraketu was so powerful that he could have cursed Mother Parvati, but he did not retaliate. So, we see generally in the situations in this world, when someone is, we generally retaliate when we see the opposite party is equal to us or less than us, or maybe we are more competent than the opposite party, or we may have something to gain from that situation. So in that kind of situation we generally retaliate. So Lord Brahma, when he prays to Krishna, he says that, Lord, my mystic power is just like a lamp, and your mystic power is like a sun. So, you know, what my mystic power can be compared to yours? So does this mean that our devotee weak, they cannot curse, or, you know, they have loose that, you know, retaliation spirit or fighting kind of attitude, or what they call in modern world, the killer instinct. If you see this word itself, you know, killer instinct, you know, what kind of word now, what kind of vocabulary they are using. So if you see, if, you know, outside world it says that dog eat dog world. So when we say this kind of thing to outside people, dog eat dog world, they say, No, this world is very beautiful, why you are saying like this? But if you see the kind of vocabulary they use, this killer instinct, even in sports, you know, they say, have you lost your killer instinct? So such kind of vocabulary is used, and even cutthroat competition and such kind of things. So many times devotees are accused of that, okay, a wife accuses her husband, businessman husband, that, okay, you know, after becoming a devotee, you lost your ambition to earn more profit. Or many times students are also accused by their parents, by their friends, they say, oh, what is this, you know, you joined this Hare Krishna and now you have lost your ambition to gain more marks. So this kind of things are told. At the same time, it is also wrong that sometimes, you know, people say that, okay, why should we do anything? Krishna will take care of everything. So this kind of attitude is also not good. Neither the world loves loser, neither Krishna. So Krishna actually tells Arjun in Bhagavad Gita, Tato Yuddhaya Yujasva Vigata Jwara. He actually encourages Arjun that, you know, don't be lethargic, get up and fight. So what Krishna he's not against the spirit of winning, but he's telling that whatever you give the credit to me. So Arjun was not just wanted to fight that, okay, he was thinking, if I win, I will fight, but if I don't, I may not. So Krishna is telling that you should fight, whether you lose or win. So when we are in such kind of situation where we don't know whether we are going to gain or lose, and we are told that, okay, you have to maintain the same spirit, irrespective of whether you win or lose, that time is a real test for us. Many times we feel that, okay, if anyways I am not going to win, why should I put so much endeavor? But no, Krishna is telling Arjun, Atishto Tishta, get up, don't be lethargic, come, fight. So such kind of situation, it's very difficult. You know, what should be, how should we maintain that ambition that, okay, without getting the credit, still we keep that fighting spirit. So Arjuna signifies the materialistic urge to do it for winning. So Prabhupada explains there in that purport in Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna signifies the materialistic urge to do it for winning. And then later on, Krishna also tells Arjuna that, okay, you have to, you don't have to worry about the result. He explains him in further detail. So if we see in this verse that Prabhupada also give lot of stress on this devotee's ability of tolerance, that, okay, you know, Trinadapi Sunichina, and even in that verse which was previously explained by Lord Shiva to Parvati, that Narayana Para Sarve Na Kutashyana Bibhyati, in that verse also Prabhupada says that tolerance is the excellence of a devotee. And this actually comes many times in the verses which Lord Shiva tells to Parvati, that tolerance should be cultivated by a devotee. So in this material world, we generally see, which is full of duality, many times there are happiness, many times there are distresses. So we are put in such kind of situation always. And Krishna, who has designed this world, has not hidden this truth. He clearly tells in Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter, Mam Upetya Punarjanma Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. He has never hidden this fact. He tells that this world is full of, you know, distresses, you know, and at the same time it is also temporary. So he has not hidden this fact, but he has mercifully created such kind of situation in this world where we get frustrated. So naturally, when we come across such kind of situations, then we have to cultivate this tolerance. And this is what Krishna also instructs Arjuna, that, you know, he tells him, Matras Parshustu Kaunteya Sitoshna Sukha Dukkata. So in that verse also he tells him that, you know, Tam Sitikshva Majamyam. He tells that Arjuna become tolerant, you know. So this world, there will always be such kind of situations where you will be, at one time you will be very happy, and next moment, you know, distresses will come. Just like the coming of, you know, summer and winter season. So you have to tolerate such kind of situation. So devotees naturally become tolerant. They learn to become tolerant because they understand that in this world they will always be faced with such kind of situation. So even in Chitraketu, if we see in Chitraketu's life itself, that at one moment he was enjoying with Vidyadhara woman, and you know, he was having his very aristocratic life in the Vidyadhara Loka, but at the next moment he was cursed by Mother Parvati. So such kind of situation we come across many times in this world, that you know, you have at one point of time you have lot of happiness, and the next moment you may go through lot of distresses. So Prabhupada, when he says that, you know, devotee has to learn this quality of tolerance, and Prabhupada just not says this, but he also exemplifies this in his life, that Prabhupada was so tolerant. You know, he went to America through a sea voyage, through a sea journey, and while going in the ship, he had two heart attacks. So it was such a difficult time for him, and at such an advanced age of 70 years. So he went to America, and after 1 year, for first 1 year he was struggling so much. There were so much problems for him, even to the point that one of his initial students wanted to attack him, and then Prabhupada, in the mid of the night, he has to run away from his own home. There was no shelter for him, and Mukund Goswami Maharaj, actually I was reading this book Miracle on Second Avenue, so Maharaj tells a very wonderful one of the pastimes of Prabhupada there, which shows, you know, how Prabhupada was so tolerant in the initial days of this movement. So Maharaj writes there, once Prabhupada was given, Prabhupada was having one laddu sweet, someone gave him, and Prabhupada ate a bite of it and passed it on to Mukund Goswami. So when Mukund Maharaj got that, he was very new to the movement and didn't know what are the Vaishnava etiquettes. So when Maharaj took this laddu, he ate a bite of it and he gave it back to Prabhupada. So because, you know, it happens there in America that, okay, people smoke cigarette, and after one person takes a, you know, one person has the cigarette, then he passes on to another, he takes, and again he gives back to the first person. So similarly Maharaj thought, okay, you know, he gave this laddu to me, so maybe I should eat it half and then, okay, pass it on back to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, he tolerated such kind of situations. And even Yamuna Mataji also writes that, you know, when Prabhupada did the marriage of Maharaj, when at that time when he was Mukunda, and Janaki, to whom he was married, so Prabhupada did their marriage, and after that they just guests all left. They did not do anything. So all the cleaning, everything was done by Prabhupada himself. So Prabhupada took so much pain. The founder Acharya, now today, if we are told to do such kind of thing, we cannot even imagine. But Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of ISKCON, he did all such kind of things. He took all kind of these pains to establish this Krishna consciousness movement, because he understood that anything which is lacking in this world is the lack of Krishna consciousness. This is the most urgent thing which is required in this world, and that's what he wanted to give to the people of this world. So Prabhupada himself showed by his example that, you know, how we have to cultivate this quality of tolerance. And Prabhupada even said in one place that a person's greatness can be judged by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. That's how a person can be judged, how great he is. So Chitraketu here, although he was so powerful that he could have retaliated, but he didn't do so. Was he not aware by seeing that, okay, what kind of, you know, man-eating demon I would become? Was he not aware of the situation? He was completely aware. He knew that, okay, Mother Parvati has cursed me to become a man-eating demon, but still I am ready to accept that. So, if in case Chitraketu would have retaliated and counter-cursed Mother Parvati, then this whole episode would have continued, and again there would have been back and forth, this kind of things would have gone, and we would have got so many more stories in Puranas that, okay, Chitraketu later on cursed Parvati, and Parvati again back cursed Chitraketu. So, this could have continued, but Chitraketu did not retaliate, and episode after episode in Bhagavatam are given on this. Like I was telling, Parikshit Maharaj never retaliated when he was also cursed. And similarly, Prithu Maharaj, when Indra was again and again trying to steal that horse of that yajna, so Prithu Maharaj was very powerful. He was Shaktavesh avatar of Lord Vishnu. He could have actually killed Indra, but Lord Vishnu himself told, why you are after this materialistic power? This Indra, he doesn't have any understanding of this world, and so that's why he wants to enjoy this materialistic power, but you don't be like that. And when this was told to Prithu by Vishnu himself, he immediately forgot about that and he forgave Indra. So when such kind of instructions comes to us that, okay, you know, you have to follow without worrying anything about the result, we worry. If, for example, we don't have anything to lose, and then at that time we are told, okay, you surrender, so we feel, okay, you know, well, I don't have anything to lose, so what is the problem, I can surrender. But when we have some attachment to anything, or when we are told, or when we know that we are going to gain something out of any situation, and in that kind of situation when we are told that, okay, now give up, then the real test comes. So in this conversation, when Prabhupada, in this connection, when Prabhupada in one of the conversation was asked that, you know, do the devotees become weak, or, you know, after they come to Krishna consciousness, do they become weak, or they lose their ambitions or something like that? So Prabhupada told that actually there are two wars, you know, two big wars, which can be said actually world wars. So Prabhupada says that those two wars are Ramayana war and Mahabharata war, and of both those wars the heroes were Vaishnavas. So in Mahabharata the hero was Arjun, and in Ramayana the hero was Hanuman. Both were Vaishnavas. So what is the problem? You may lose your ambition, but you gain Krishna's ambition. So although we may lose our ambition, but we may get to know, or we may work towards Krishna's ambition, and that is what is the aim of our devotional service. Why do we perform Krishna consciousness, or why do we perform devotional service? The whole aim is to please Krishna. And when we don't do that, then what is the use? So the whole aim of our practicing devotional service is to please Krishna. But the problem comes when we give up our these ambitions, but we don't know what is Krishna's ambition. We give up all our ambition, and then when we realize that we don't know Krishna's ambition, and then we get confused midway, and that is where, you know, it's really difficult. So many great sages have explained this kind of condition or this kind of situation as a dark night for the soul. So, or just like, you know, if you would have gone to Pune from here by this expressway, there are many tunnels in that expressway, and there is one particular tunnel which is actually a curve. So, when you enter in this particular tunnel, and you know, you reach towards that curve, so if you look behind, the light may get dimmer and dimmer, and at that, when you reach to that particular curve, it's like completely dark, and neither you see ahead, neither you see behind, everything is dark, and now you don't know whether you are going ahead or you are, you know, you are going behind, what is happening, you don't understand. But once you go slightly ahead of that curve, you see slowly some little bit light coming, and as you go ahead, that light becomes more brighter and brighter, and then you come out of the tunnel. So what we expect is that, okay, as soon as I am at the curve, and I should immediately get the light. But that doesn't happen immediately, and that is how Krishna has arranged the purification for us. You know, if we get everything so easily and so cheaply, then how would we understand that, okay, what is the value of that thing? So this is how, when we face such kind of situation where, you know, we don't know what is Krishna's ambition, we can take shelter of Lord and we can pray and you know, seek His blessing that, oh Lord, please you know, please keep me in Your shelter. I am confused. I don't know what is happening. And this is how we will be able to continue in our Krishna consciousness. This is how we will be able to maintain ourselves. So it's very important that we pray to the Lord that, oh Lord, please also help me to cultivate this quality of tolerance, you know, which is so important that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinada Pisunichana, Tarora Pisayishuna. If someone can really follow this verse, then he will be able to chant very nicely. But the problem is, when we don't follow this, we will not be able to chant properly. We have to very strictly and rigidly follow this verse. And even when we read Bhagavatam also, many times we see that there are some contradictions, or we feel that it's told that Bhagavatam is the solution to all the problems or like that, but we don't find that practically. And this is all because we are in a conditioned state, and Bhagavatam is a total transcendental literature. So we are trying to understand something from a lower plane to a higher plane. So when we are at our conditioned state, we are trying to understand Bhagavatam, which is at a transcendental level. So that's why we don't understand many of the things. So many things apparently seems to be contradictory. Just like in this pastime of Parikshit also, it doesn't seem whether, you know, what is the mistake, you know, whether Parikshit is right or wrong, or in this case, whether Chitraketu is right, or Mother Parvati is right, or Lord Shiva is right. So this kind of situation also comes in Vaishnava community, Vaishnava society, where, you know, sometimes it may apparently appear that it's wrong, so we don't know whether, you know, we may judge whether it's wrong or not wrong. Such kind of situations are there, but we can always, we should pray to the Lord that, oh Lord, please help me to understand such kind of things, you know, so that I can become more sincere in my devotional service. So I would like to stop here, and if someone has some questions or some comments, they can ask.
हरे कृष्ण प्रभु जी, आप बोले जो बद्ध जीव, हम सब बद्ध जीव है, जो गीता भागवत सब प्रश्न है, हम पढ़ने के लिए समय नहीं मिलते, इससे बोलते जे जो मंदिर में सेवा करते है, जो पुजारी सेवा करते है, जो भी सेवा करते है, इसको भी समय नहीं मिलता है। जो भी समय मिलता है बाहर जाते है और अलग कुछ सेवा में जाते है, वो टाइम नहीं मिलते। अच्छा, ये लोग क्या बद्ध जीव है ना क्या?
So he is telling means we यू वॉन्ट टू से मीन्स वो लोग बद्ध जीव है क्या?
हाँ.
बोल रहे हैं कि वो जो मंदिर में पुजारी सेवा करते हैं,
हाँ.
और जब बाहर जाके
अलग सेवा करते, जो प्रोग्राम है कि बाहर गया कि जॉब करने के लिए उसे समय नहीं मिलता है, जो भागवत गीता पढ़ने के लिए समय नहीं मिलता, इसलिए क्या बद्ध जीव है ना क्या?
नहीं तो प्रोग्राम में जाने से बद्ध जीव कैसे हो जाएंगे? यानी प्रोग्राम भी तो वो जाते हैं, तो कोई ऐसे प्रोग्राम में तो नहीं जाते ना कि ठीक है बाहर जाके अब मैं कोई मूवी देखने जा रहा हूँ, क्रिकेट मैच देखने जा रहा हूँ, ऐसे तो प्रोग्राम में नहीं जाते। वो जाते हैं तो कोई कीर्तन करने ही जाते हैं या फिर किसी घर में प्रवचन देने जाते हैं, ऐसे प्रकार के प्रोग्राम में ही जाते होंगे ना?
नहीं ऐसा है कि मैंने बद्ध जीव का अर्थ क्या है? बद्ध जीव जो बोलते हैं जो हम जो गीता भागवत नहीं पढ़ते,
बद्ध जीव यानी कि वो जो इस भौतिक जगत में है वो सब बद्ध जीव ही है। अगर हम देखे जाएंगे तो बद्ध जीव का डेफिनेशन यही है कि जो जितने भी जीव इस भौतिक जगत में सब बद्ध जीव है।
यदि ये भौतिक जगत में जो बद्ध जीव है, जो भक्त है, इसको तो समय नहीं मिलता पढ़ने के लिए। अच्छा ये क्या बद्ध जीव है ना क्या है?
हम लोग अभी कोशिश कर रहे हैं कि हम बद्ध जीव तो इस जगत में सभी है, लेकिन हम लोग उस स्तर से निकल कर हम लोग लिबरेटेड स्टेज में जाना चाहते हैं, हम लोग इस दुनिया से निकलकर बाहर जाना चाहते हैं। तो हम कोशिश कर रहे हैं निकलने के बाहर, लेकिन हम वो प्रोसेस में है कि ठीक है, जैसे कि कोई इंसान, अगर जैसे कोई इंसान है जो मिट्टी में बाहर से खेल कर आया है, तो जब वो खेल रहा है तब तो वो गंदा है, लेकिन जब वो नहा रहा है तो प्रोसेस में है कि ठीक है अभी वो अपने आप को प्यूरीफाई करेगा। तो जब वो नहा रहा है तो वो प्रोसेस में वो अपने आप को प्यूरीफाई करेगा, और उसके बाद में फिर वो नहा के जो है पूरी तरह से स्वस्थ हो जाएगा। तो उसी तरह से हम लोग भी अभी ये भक्ति कर रहे हैं ताकि हमारे हृदय में जो अशुद्धता है और जो भी हमारे अंदर जो सारे जो गंदगी भरी है उसको हम निकालने की कोशिश कर रहे हैं।
यानी चैतन्य महाप्रभु बोले कि ये कलि युग में जो भगवान का नाम लेगा, सोलह माला जो प्रभुपाद महाराज उसको ले जो सोलह माला जप करेगा, हमारा अंतर में जो महिला है ये सब दूषित हो जाएगा। और गीता भागवत तो पढ़ने के लिए कुछ नहीं बोला, ये बारे में कुछ बोला क्या?
वो बोल रहे हैं कि अगर हम जैसे मंदिर में रहते हैं तो तब तो हम भक्ति वगैरह सब करते हैं, लेकिन जब प्रोग्राम में बाहर जाते हैं तो तब हम बद्ध जीव है क्या? तब भी हम बद्ध जीव कहलाएंगे क्या? प्रभु जी जवाब देना चाहेंगे इसका, अगर वो माइक पास करेंगे प्रभु जी को तो प्रभु जी जवाब देना चाहेंगे। प्रभु जी जवाब देंगे अच्छे से इसका।
क्या समझते हैं, मुक्त आत्मा या बद्ध आत्मा? हम तो सब बद्ध आत्मा ही हैं। अगर कोई अपने आप को मुक्त आत्मा समझता है तो उसके लिए जरूरी नहीं है गीता भागवत, वो तो ऐसे ही मुक्त आत्मा है।
बिल्कुल,
अगर आप मुक्त आत्मा है तो आप हैं भागवत स्वरूप हैं, भक्त भागवत हैं। यानी बद्ध आत्मा समझते हैं तो गीता भागवत पढ़ना जरूरी है, जप करना जरूरी है। प्रोग्राम में भी जाते हैं तो वहां भी गीता भागवत पढ़िए, कीर्तन करिए। अब प्रोग्राम में जाकर वहां अलग चीज करेंगे तो घर वाला जो बुलाए वो भी भगा देगा, भागो यहाँ से। वहां जाकर अगर क्रिकेट देखेंगे या दूसरा कुछ देखेंगे तो वो जैसे नारद जी को देवताओं ने बुलाया था कीर्तन करने के लिए, जब नारद जी गंधर्व थे तो एक बार देवता लोग प्रजापति लोग उनको इनवाइट किए थे हाउस प्रोग्राम के लिए। हाउस प्रोग्राम समझिए, देवलोक में बहुत बड़ा प्रोग्राम हुआ था कीर्तन भजन का। तो नारद जी जब अपने प्रीवियस लाइफ में गंधर्व थे, गंधर्व का नाम था परिब्रहण अपब्रहण या बस अपब्रहण अपब्रहण नाम के गंधर्व थे, बहुत सुंदर गाते थे, इनके जैसा ही बहुत सुंदर गाते थे बजाते थे। तो देवता लोग उनके कीर्तन को सुनने के लिए बुलाए, तो कीर्तन के लिए बुलाए, लेकिन वहां वो दूसरा कुछ गाने लगे, फिल्मी गीत गाने लगे। तो बड़े बड़े देवता प्रजापति यह देखकर उनके व्यवहार से बहुत रुष्ट हो गए और शाप दे दिए कि तुम शूद्र बन जाओ। तो वही बाद में जो गंधर्व था दासी पुत्र बनकर आया, और बाद में फिर वो मानसपुत नारद जी बने।
वो अंत में वो भी पूछ रहे थे कि जैसे चैतन्य चरितामृत में दिया है कि हृदय का शुद्धिकरण होता है हम जैसे नाम जप करते हैं, तो बोल रहे थे कि गीता भागवत में भी तो ऐसा दिया है क्या?
दिया है
तो वो तो दिया ही है, भागवत में भी दिया है,
भागवत गीता में तो हमेशा वही दिया है,
भागवत गीता में और भागवत गीता में तो यही
नाम संकीर्तनम जस्य सर्व पाप प्रणाशनम। श्रीमद भागवतम को अंतिम में कंक्लूड करते हैं सुखदेव गोस्वामी, शुद्ध गोस्वामी, कि नाम संकीर्तनम जस्य सर्व पाप प्रणाशनम प्रणामो दुख शमनम। और गीता में भी भगवान कहते हैं सर्व धर्मान परित्यज्य मामे कम शरणम व्रज। अब जो अंधा होगा उसको दिखाई नहीं देगा तो सूर्य का क्या दोष है? गीता भागवत में कितना बार कहा गया है कि नाम जपने से ही, नाम जप के अलावा और कोई रास्ता नहीं है। अंधा व्यक्ति को सूर्य नहीं दिखाएगा तो क्या सूर्य नहीं है? सूर्य है ना, अंधे के लिए भले प्रतीत न हो।
सही।
हरे कृष्णा प्रभु जी। प्रभु जी, एज यू मेंशन दैट वुमन आर नॉट टू बी पनिश्ड some when they are wrong, but in history we see that Pithu Maharaj was about to punish Mother Earth, and Yudhishthir Maharaj was chastising Kunti Devi for not revealing that Karna was her son. Likewise, Gautam Muni cursing Ahalya. So how to understand this? Are they always to be exempted, or sometimes in special consideration they are to be punished?
See, in this, if you see, we have to realize the position of all these people who actually tried to punish. So, as you said, Prithu Maharaj was trying to punish the earth. So, he himself is Lord, you know, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, we cannot doubt about what he does. And certainly, Gautam Rishi is such a great sage, you know, he's not that he's not aware of, okay, that this kind of situations we have to, you know, what kind of thing have to be done. So they are certainly aware, and when they do such kind of things, you know, it's like we cannot doubt on that, because they are very well aware of such kind of situations. Even Chitraketu trying to protect Mother Parvati, so we have to realize what is the position of Chitraketu. Chitraketu is not an ordinary person, you know, he is a Mahabhagavat devotee of, you know, Anantadeva. So when they do, it's justifiable in the sense they know the scriptures and they understand, you know, in what kind of situation they have to be protected and what kind of situation they are not to be. So for them it's, you know, understandable that, you know, they can do such kind of things. But now the law is not like that okay, you know, some woman commits some crime and they may be forgiven. They have certainly laws like that, you know, they have to be punished. But if you see the position of woman also in this world, you cannot say now, you know, nowadays many kind of women, they commit crime, you know, they kill their husbands and, you know, they kill their own child. So they cannot be exempted from such kind of things, you know. So it depends on situation like that. I hope I tried to say anything. Okay, Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.